Welcome to the show, and you're listening to Midwatch with the Rev. God bless you. This is the Rev, David Yanez, and we're here in the studio live. And we have Pastor Daniel Vasquez here, and we are here doing some crazy things, just talking and stuff. It's going to be a little bit different show today, but let me give you my address. It is Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. Now, most of the time we open up, we talk a little bit about other things, but me and Pastor, we were talking earlier. We're just going to trust this is going to send us into the subject matter that we have for the day. So we're just talking about a couple at his church that had something happen overnight, and it just put in his heart to really be there for the family and stuff. But let me give you my email, therev@midwatchwiththerev.com, or you can go to our Chatango account right there on your screen. At the bottom, there's a chat box. You can chat with us and let us know that you're listening. Pastor Daniel, go ahead and say hi to everybody.
Hello, it's good to be back with everyone once again.
And what happened last night with that couple?
Well, this particular couple has a 5-year-old daughter who was playing in her older brother's room. And he has a television, with today's time, it's an ancient television. It was a tube.
I got a couple of those too.
Yeah, it's not a flat screen. It was a tube. And well, she was in there playing, and it happened to be a much larger television, a very big TV, and the TV fell. We're not exactly sure how it fell, but it fell on her hand, and so blood just started squirting everywhere, and so mom and dad rushed her to the emergency room, and I got the call and headed on out over there, and stayed with the family for a while. And after the x-rays and the doctors and everybody came in, basically we were told that the finger or a portion of the finger had been severed, and they were wanting the mom and dad to amputate the finger, and mom and dad, they weren't having it. And so they told the doctor, put it back on. And so she just recently got out of surgery, and I just got a text message as we were starting the program that they were going to get rushed. They were going to send her after surgery. They were going to send her to Texas Children's Hospital. There's a certain type of blood thinner or something like that that they were going to start giving her so that it would help the healing process on her finger. And it turns out Texas Children's, nobody in Houston has that blood thinner. So not even Texas Children. So she's going to stay pat, and we're just going to believe God that that God's going to open up the blood vessels, and He's going to allow the sutures and everything to take place, and her finger's going to be fine.
Amen. I think God wants the glory on this one.
There you go.
Not no thinner, and so she's staying at the hospital that she's currently at right now.
Yes, sir. And so we're just asking for all of you who are listening, if you to spend some time just keeping her in prayer. She's a very energetic, very fun-loving little girl. She's full of love, full of energy, and she's just a joy to be around. And
what's her name, Pastor?
Her name is Julie Annabelle Herador.
Julie, that's a long name.
Yeah. Her name's Julie Herador, but I call her Julie Annabelle. She's the cutest little thing, and she loves the Lord. She loves coming to church, like I said, we're just believing God that God's hand is all over her. And you know, it's like I told mom and dad, sometimes through difficult times like this, that as the doctor is doing surgery on their daughter, for them to allow God to do surgery on them. And because through all adverse times, I think we can take those times of adversity and use them to grow if we're learning from them.
Yes, it's hard to accept it, but sometimes when the enemy hits, we have to look at it that we have to go beyond what we're experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to go beyond that experience that we're having, that emotional, that physical, or whatever trauma it is, financially, whatever. And we have to be able to go and say, God is doing something here.
That's it.
You're telling me about your tweet the other day.
Oh yeah, I had sent out a tweet the other day on Twitter.
It's called both ways.
Yeah, I don't even know how to pronounce it. I'm a tweet head, Twitter head, however you pronounce it. I know I'm on Twitter and you can find me at GodRules_1, and it's GodRules_1, anyways, I sent out a tweet the other day about adversity, you know, and there's a quote that I came across, and it's I don't know who wrote it, but all I know is I thought it was good, and so I sent it out, and it says, smooth seas never created a skill for mariners.
You know, that's true, because when I was in the Navy, that's so true. When the water was nice and just blue or green in some places, and even green where you can see the bottom clear to the floor, mm-hmm. Those days were normal. You just basically go do your routine and not that big of a deal. But when the storms were crazy, people were that's when you find out who were the ones that were cut out for the sea.
Yep.
And you know why? Because they'd end up getting seasick.
Mm-hmm.
And in all my years, I didn't get seasick except for one time, and we went through actually a hurricane. Mm-hmm. So everybody got seasick that night. So, but it's like most of the time, you know, when the ocean gets rough and crazy, it's you know what you know and what you do as far as how you react,
mm-hmm.
and how you perform and how you make the right decisions to keep your ship afloat. Mm-hmm. That's back there in the military there. But anyway, but it's true. Adversity makes you a better person.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, and the thing is, what adversity does, I think adversity begins to reveal the true nature or the true character of the person. You know, I mean, because it's one thing, for example, as Christians or for anybody who to claim they've got faith. Oh, I believe God. I trust. I've got faith. But when we're faced with adversity, that's when our faith gets challenged and our faith gets stretched. And once that begins to happen, then where our faith is really at, that's what gets exposed. And so if we have high faith, it'll come out during adversity. If we've got a low level of faith and we just talk a good game, it'll come out during adversity as well.
Yes. Yes.
You know, and see, and that's one of the things about adversity, and you know, and along with that tweet, I added to it just kind of my own tidbit to it, and I put on there that it's important for us not to learn to deal with adversity, but to learn from adversity.
Yeah,
you know, when we learn to deal with adversity, all we're doing is just learning to tolerate it.
Yes,
you know, but when we're learning from it, it is when we're truly beginning to grow.
Amen, Pastor. You know, on this show, I've covered that if you tolerate it, you'll never change it.
That's it.
If you tolerate it, it'll never get you frustrated enough just to make changes happen in your home,
mm-hmm.
in your marriage, at your job. So if you start tolerating it, it's just going to hang around and linger around.
Yep. That's it. You know, and earlier today I sent out another tweet after I talked with the family, you know, and I shared this with them as well. And you know, I sent this out. It says people are not born great, but greatness is born in people. It's the coupling of your character and adversity that breeds greatness.
I think I heard that on Transformers. No, I'm playing.
Did you?
No, I'm messing with you.
Maybe that's where I heard it from.
No, I pulled that Optimus Prime speech, I think, was it a few weeks ago with my crew at work.
Oh, yeah?
It was before the Christmas rush at the Thanksgiving rush on Black Friday. And they were all just quiet because they knew they're about to open the doors. And I told them, destiny rarely calls you at the moment of your choosing.
There you go.
You must embrace it. You sustain, you know, all mm-hmm. that you can sustain to make it happen. And there I go, hey, that's Optimus Prime, guys. Come on.
Let's go.
Let's go get these things. Let's go fill these shelves.
Now but, let's transform the store into a working store. And so.
Yeah, but that's true. That's very true.
And that's it, though. I mean, you know, adversity, you know, because nobody's born great. You know, there's people that say, oh, you know, this person, that person, they were born great. Nobody's born great. Greatness is a part of everyone. I think everyone has greatness in them, you know, but nobody is born great. You know, more times than not, people become great through adversity. You know, you think about people like Abraham Lincoln. You think about people who, you know, like Abraham Lincoln had several failed businesses.
Yep.
You know, he I think he ran for president once and lost. He ran for vice president a couple of times and lost. He was divorced. He was, you know, and I mean, you know, his life was filled with tragedy and overcoming those tragedies. But it was through all the adversity in his life that made him the great man that we know today. You know, and he's not the only one, but there's, you know, every person who we consider great men or women, you know, in history, they all became great through adversity, you know. And yes. So they weren't born great, but greatness was born in them, you know.
Yeah, but that's what it takes. It takes you holding on mm-hmm. and persevering. Mm-hmm. So I think the word we have to replace would probably be, instead of dealing, you know, persevere, mm-hmm. push through it.
Push through it.
Make something happen. We're going to take a commercial right quick. We'll be right back. God bless you. We'll be right back.
Have you ever felt that you let God down in the way you handled your dating or marriage relationships? How about the deja vu feeling that you had the same bad experience before, but you can't help repeating what you know doesn't work? Emotions about our relationships are constantly shifting from highs to lows. If we know that we are not in the right relationship, we still try to convince ourselves of our partner otherwise. Sometimes that convincing leads us away from God, Christian friends, family, and the church. Does this describe you? And if it does, do you ever wonder if all your rationalizations and poor choices have exceeded the limits of God's patience with you so that you are almost out of grace? If so, my friends, I have written this book for you. The title of my new book is Almost Out of Grace. This book will be a blessing in your life. You can pick this book up anywhere books are sold. Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, anywhere books are sold. You can also pick it up at my website, RevMinistries.com, for $12. Also, AlmostOutOfGrace.com, you can go there and there's a link there as well to purchase the book. If you want to preview the chapters, if you want to know more about the book and why I wrote the book, visit AlmostOutOfGrace.com. You can get through there through RevMinistries.com, or you can go straight to AlmostOutOfGrace.com and you'll be able to see why this book came into existence and how it came into existence through radio shows. God bless you. Please purchase the book anywhere books are sold, or you can write us at P.O. Box 5172. Send us a check, money order. We also take credit card. And if you want to call in at 888-241-0768, hit extension 2, and we'll be able to help you in the bookstore. God bless you. Thank you. Again, Almost Out of Grace will be a blessing to your relationships.
Welcome back to the show. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in and holding on to the mouse and not turning us off. We do appreciate that. Hey, we're doing some great things. We're going to get back to the topic on adversity, but we're doing some great things this next week. I want you to consider coming out to Metro Church. Actually, tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, we are having a Christian rap artist, Shane O'Neill, part of Sons of Thunder, and Yan O Ministry, You're Not Your Own Ministries. And they're going to be out here at Metro Church. They're going to be doing their own concert. We're opening up the church for them. They're going to be actually taking care of all the youth. It's coming Thursdays, every Thursday, except for Christmas Eve, of course. They're going to be here, and they're going to be doing a great thing. And they're going to be, they really needed a place, and they really want to step in and have someone mentor them. And that's what Pastor and myself are doing. But they're good men of God, and it's a free concert. There's going to be some food. So it's tomorrow at 7 o'clock. Here at Metro Church, our address is 7811 FM 1960, and that's in Atascocita, 773-4246. Yes, the right one. But yeah, we want you to come out. And the other thing is that we are going to be also having the power team. John Jacobs is going to be here on January 24th. So I definitely invite all the churches and stuff that are out there to come out and support that. In fact, they sent us this long list, Pastor, of things they needed. Handcuffs, an axe, two license plates, three phone books. I'm like, looking, it's like a list. It's like, you know, a full page. Uh-huh. List every line. Imagine two pages like that. And you when you bring them out, you're the one that has to get all that stuff together.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, Lord, they should just sell. This is the package deal. And just write one check and get everything we need. But you got to find all this stuff. And,
I thought you were going to say that they were going to do some sort of a diva thing on you and say, well, we need a dressing room and we need a bowl of green M&M's only.
Like what you would call it, like Aerosmith and what's the other group? I don't know, I forget the other group, but yeah, they have to have X amount of square footage for their after party.
I thought that, you know, we only eat ham sandwiches with the crust cut off and green M&Ms and that's it.
There's some actors and stuff that or comedians that they would have to have X amount of food in the back.
Mm-hmm.
They would have to have like it was a KFC and Taco Bell waiting for them when they got off stage, and and then their excuse was because when they get off stage, there's nothing open. Yeah, right. Whatever, man. Everything's open still.
Nowadays there is. Yeah, I mean, you can find a Taco Bell open somewhere.
I guess. Yeah, you could probably do that. But yeah, they're going to be out here, and that's going to be interesting because we hadn't had them here at the church before. But you know, God is sending different people here to the church. It's like, you know, the church has been here forever.
Mm-hmm.
At our location here at 7811 FM 1960, and we've been here for a while. We haven't had anyone come walk and knock on the door and say, "Hey, we want to hold an event there." And so far, we've had three, and God's doing some good things with that. So I mean, you know, when you're walking in this and what God wants you to walk in,
mm-hmm.
And you just let God do the thing, and it doesn't have to be this great marketing campaign. You don't have to have over 500 members at your church to mm-hmm. do something, but when you just be obedient and say, okay, God, and you're faithful. It's hard sometimes when you don't see what you really need in front of you and what you expect to have in front of you, and it's hard sometimes just to keep going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to just say, okay, I know God is doing this, but, you know, every time I make these shows, I look at it and I think, you know, are they listening? Or is someone out there really listening? But I know that they are because we get a lot of bandwidth going out, and it's a blessing. Pastor, I didn't tell you this, but we had a person email us, a pastor email us from, I don't know where he was from. He just emailed that he goes, I just visited your site, and I think that the whole thing is wonderful. I love the concept of radio. I love the concept of TV, and I hope to be a part of your station soon. And he goes, I just want to tell you that y'all blessed me that you had something like this.
Oh, praise God.
And that you've made it accessible to anyone to mm-hmm. be a host and to hold a show. And I think that's the biggest thing. I think when I was doing a lot of radio on the terrestrial stations, I had a lot of trouble trying to mm-hmm. keep that running because of the cost and everything. And now that we have the station here and we're running it like this, there's still cost, but it's nothing compared to having a show in New York and it costs $3,000 or something a month. So
mm-hmm.
can you imagine that bill?
It'd be a nice little bill to have. We're a listener-supported radio station.
Yeah.
So send us your money, please.
We need listeners to support.
There you go.
But, I think that...
I'm going to put you on the spot real quick. Just, you know, last week you put me on the spot about the book.
Okay,
about whether or not I read your book, which I have gotten through the first chapter, and it's pretty good.
Okay, go ahead, man. And, put me on the spot. I already know where this is going.
Is my profile up yet?
No, it's not.
Archives or anything?
No, nothing's up yet. And like I told you, when we're off the air, I've just been hammered with all this extra work, but it's no excuse. It'll actually, I'm putting all that stuff up this week and just catching up. The next 3 days, I'm going to catch up. Oh, you know what?
I was just playing. I'm playing with you. You threw the book thing out at me last week, so I figured I got to get you back.
No, it's okay because you know that the Lord judges you when you do that.
Really? Okay, well.
I'm just playing.
Well, good. Thank God for grace.
Amen. No, I'm just playing. But no, I have like the radio station itself, we have the archives, and they haven't been updated for a week either, so I don't know. It's just been a crazy, crazy week and stuff. But yeah, we'll get that up for you, Pastor.
All right, just checking.
No problem. No problem. Tell me more about adversity, Pastor. I know you can talk about that.
Well, you know, I mean, when you've been through as much adversity as and I'm not going to say I've been through any more than anybody else or anything like that, but you know, I've had my fair share, and I think everyone has, and I think everyone has a story, and everyone has a testimony. Overcoming these things and has testimonies of where they've passed and where they've failed, you know, and I think all of us have been there, you know, and done that, you know, as far as you know, we didn't, you know, there's sometimes when adversity hit and our light shined, and there's times when it didn't, you know, and we failed the test miserably. But one of the things I want to do is I really want to encourage people out there who are listening, you know, when it comes to adversity, to keep in mind that adversity is something that, you know, God uses it to produce something in people's lives.
Yes.
You know, last week we talked about the vine life and how God prunes people, and we were talking about how when God starts the pruning process, He cuts off something that is considered dead weight to God, and uses it to springboard us into more growth. And you think about adversity. You know, James chapter 1 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." Or perseverance, depending on what version of the Bible you have.
Yep.
But the main point or the main thrust of that is the trials that we go through, the adversity that we face, produces something within us. And it's important for us to remember. And so those out there right now that are struggling in some areas that are facing difficult times, especially right now, you know, in this time and season, you have two sides of the same coin where you're either full of hope and joy because of the holiday season, or you're full of despair and discouragement because of the holiday season. Yeah. And whatever side of the coin you're on, just know that whatever trials that you're facing, God uses it, and God is using it to produce something within you.
Amen. And that's something to talk about right there. It's like a lot of people. One thing I pray, and this is what I pray, that doesn't happen, and that is that the holidays would get anyone frustrated. You know, I mean, yeah. So you can't get a gift for someone, you know, it's, as long as you get your kids covered, that's all that really matters. And and there's plenty of places out there that if you can't get that happen, there's plenty of churches and even organizations that are having kid gifts and stuff that you can register for. But one thing is, you know, just having possessions shouldn't make or break your spirit and your mind. And you know, there's no one can say that they're beyond that. There's things that everybody's wanted in their life or everyone's lost in their life, and you just got to be able to make sure that you're there and that you can, that you don't let those things drag you down, especially right now. Because right now it's about family. It's about being with your family, being around with your church, home, and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's important. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, and adversity is a topic that I really love to discuss. I love to preach on it. I love to talk to people about it. Not because I'm a Jerry Springer head where I like to see drama. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with that. But and no offense to Jerry Springer or any of you who watch it. But
true.
But it's a topic I like, you know, because of how God uses it in people's lives. You know, and again, I think the most effective part of adversity is that it produces something. You know, as we said before this last break, that you know, nobody ever became great when everything in life was smooth.
True.
You know, I mean, you know, you don't rise to the top unless there's fire that's burning underneath you. You know, to bring that out in you. And the great thing is again, it tells you who you really are. You know, and I mean, because it's one thing, and you know, it's one thing to talk about faith, or it's one thing to talk about, you know, trusting God or having no fear. But when we're faced with a situation that challenges that, you know, and I had a pastor tell me one time when my wife and I were getting ready to step out into ministry, into pastoring our church when we were launching our church out. After the first year and a half, I went to counsel with my pastor, and I was talking to him about stepping out in faith to go full time, quitting my job and running the church full time. And there was a statement he told me, and it has stuck with me ever since he said it. You know, he told me, he says people as a Christian, people will always recognize you as a man of faith.
Yeah.
He says, but there's only a handful of times that you'll probably count on one hand. Throughout your life, where you'll actually get to prove to yourself that you're a man of faith.
Oh, that's true. That's very deep.
You know, and he says, when those opportunities arise, is when we need to take advantage of them to prove to ourselves that we are that man of faith or that we are that woman of faith. And you know, and those that are struggling on their jobs, those that are struggling in their ministries, they're struggling with their marriages. And I know marriage is a topic that is very dear to your heart, Rev. You know, and those that are even struggling within their marriages, you know, adversity in the marriage should not be to separate people, Amen. But to bring them together. You know, and it's to build a unity within the marriage. It's to draw them closer. It's to make them stronger. It's to make their bond stronger. You know, even if it seems like things are broken. You know, and you know, God can bring that bond together. Even if something has been broken, God can bring it together. You know, because you think about whenever a bone in your body is broken, you know, once they reset it and they cast it, as that bone begins to grow back together, the bone becomes actually stronger than it was before it was broken. And you see, and the same thing happens with us. You know, in our marriages,
yes,
or
definitely.
In our relationships,
definitely.
You know, or whatever the case may be, you know, and maybe it's not a husband and wife relationship. Maybe there's problem with the children, You know, I mean, Dr. Edwin Lewis Cole has a book called Communication, Sex, and Money, the three most common obstacles in marriages. You know, and if you think about it, just about every argument that a couple has centers around communication, sex, or money.
Yep.
You know, but whenever those things cause a strain, whenever those things cause adversity, we can still use those as a springboard for spiritual growth in our lives and just growth as people. You know, again, that's why I love the topic of adversity, and I can go on and on.
Yeah,
you know, last week we talked about the vine life. You know, you plant a seed, and you can't plant a seed in the ground unless you dig into the ground and turn it over. You know, you have to break up the ground, and you know, and just like with us, you know, in order for God to plant a good seed in us, He has to break up the ground a little bit.
Now, Pastor, what would you recommend to our listeners? What would you tell your church members when they're going through adversity? What are the three, four, five things that they should do? I know they should pray and stuff, but what would you suggest to them?
Depending on what the situation is, you know, obviously prayers is number one. Number two is to get into God's Word, and I'll give them a few scriptures, a handful of scriptures that really have helped me throughout my Christian walk to overcome adversity, or at least to put adversity in perspective for me. And the other thing is to get plugged into you know, a brother or sister in the Lord, a spiritual mentor, a father, you know, a spiritual father, a pastor, or somebody like that they can confide themselves into, and someone who's going to minister to them effectively, not necessarily beat them down, but tell them the truth.
Now, I would say also is not to make any decisions,
and not to make any rash decisions would be number four. Yes,
yeah, I mean, because I would say for sure. Until you cover the top three, don't even make a decision. You know,
that's
pray,
it.
Pray, get some counseling, someone out there. Let's search the scriptures. Spend your time with God. Look at even through all the times, even when David in the Bible when he messed up, even when he messed up, he would still seek God out.
That's it.
I mean, he knew that was his source. No matter what was happening around him, his kid that was being born was gonna die. He knew that.
Right.
He still sought God. He still sat there, even in his adversity. He sat there and he listened and he prayed, and then he dwelt. A lot of times, what we need to do, we need to sit back.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes these things happen that are just beyond our scope. What we can expect in a day. I mean, I guarantee your prisoners last night was not expecting to spend a night at the hospital.
Right.
I mean, there's just a normal day.
Yep.
Like everyone needs to remember that we are. We have to be in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be in prayer, and we have to be praying against everything that may come against us.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'll tell you, one of the biggest things that comes against us, I think, and this is why you don't make decisions, you know, when you're going, you know, or make, you know, hasty decisions, I guess, would be the better term to use, is because we, being a people of emotion, tend to make decisions based on emotion. And more times than not,
sell, buy.
That's it. You know, and so when we start making decisions or we start doing things based off of emotion, you know, I'm not going to say 100% of the time it ends up being wrong, you know, but I would venture to say it's much more than half of the time that we're making wrong decisions. We're going through it, and we're going through adversity, and we're all emotional. And we make a rash decision right then and there, you know. Chances are there's gonna be something wrong with the reasoning. There's gonna be something wrong with you know. It's like disciplining your child in anger. You don't do that.
Yep.
You know, you don't discipline your child in anger, you know, because you may over discipline, you know.
Yeah, you may over discipline, but then you also may mess them up as far as their emotion when they're gonna be disciplining their kids like that. But they're gonna be messed up with I've seen that in families where they've gotten smacked too much and just for doing something. They're afraid to do anything. I mean, you put a spirit in them. You put your fear. That's what you put in them.
Because that translates down to them, and they're going to reciprocate. They're going to do what they see you do.
Yep.
And whatever our children see us do, whatever we do in moderation, this is another Dr. Edwin Lewis Cole quote, but whatever we do in moderation, our children will do in excess.
Okay.
You know, and so if they see that from us, then they're going to do that plus. And, you know, so we don't ever want to make decisions or do anything like that strictly based off of emotion. You know, just because, you know, now when we're going through adversity and tough times like that, you know, it is always good, just like you said, to take a step back, you know, maybe, you know, remove yourself or think about it from the outside rather than from the inside.
Definitely.
You know, that's part of the reason why you seek counsel, preferably from somebody who is not emotionally attached to whatever it is that you're going through. Because they can give you a much broader perspective, or they can even give you a more narrowed down perspective, and they're another set of eyes who can give you counsel not based off of an emotion or not based off of some sort of attachment to what you're going through, and but you know, dealing with adversity and dealing with tough times is something that I think a lot of people have a hard time with. You know, they really do. They have a hard time with. That's why they turn to drugs. That's why they turn to alcohol. You know, that's why they turn to pornography. You know, that's why they turn to, you know, all of these destructive habits, because they don't know how to deal with adversity, or not even deal with it. Again, they don't know how to learn from them. You know, definitely. Because again, dealing with them just teaches us to tolerate it.
Yep.
You know, and so forget about dealing with it. They just don't know how to learn from adversity. And when we can learn from adversity, then we begin to minimize our desire for destructive habits.
Amen. Well, Pastor, what your friend's name at the church, the young girl, her name is Julie?
Julie Annabelle, yes, sir.
Okay, I want to pray for my friend Dean before we close. His roommate committed suicide the other day. And Dean, I call him Dino, he works with me. And he's a great guy. He was coming to this church actually years ago, back in when it was its heyday and it was doing awesome and doing great things years ago. So I know his heart's there because God already reached him once and he's kind of not following God right now. So, but I just want to pray I'm asking you to do the prayer, that you just help pray for him and what he's dealing with. It was just a person that was basically just his roommate for the last year and a half. So I guess they're mm-hmm. close. And they just found him in a hotel.
Dead. Oh, wow.
So, and he was just getting his life together. But one thing I want to talk about adversity is when I work with a lot of different people, and it's good. I like it. I mean, I like being in the workforce because you see their emotions and you may not reach everyone. People are set in their ways, but God can. And the good thing that I see is you see them dealing with life and how they deal with life and the adversity that they have. A lot of them are financial. They have a bad marriage or bad finances, and they're working at a job where they know they could probably get paid more. They had a whole different profession before they came to that job, and they're just down. Mm-hmm. The way they deal with it is to drink or just complain about it and walk around and mope and be all hunched over, like in Luke 13, the lady that had the spirit of infirmity, mm-hmm. just that she couldn't even look up, and they're just like that. They're just walking around, just down. Beat the world's beating them, and you look at how they're dealing with it, and that's not how God wants you to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm serious. When you're going through stuff, you need to celebrate. I would say that would be the fifth thing. Celebrate. Pick your hands
up.
Okay. Praise God. Worship God and claim your victory. And you know, it may sound foolish, but that's true. Mm-hmm. It's what we believe in. That sometimes joy will mm-hmm. just open up faith.
Oh yeah,
joy would just open it up and make it happen. And it's like it's not in your hands; it's in God's hands.
That's it.
You know.
You know. I think last week we talked about this about sacrifice about yes. the sacrifice of praise, and, mm-hmm. and that's right in line with that. You know. And for those that didn't listen last week, you know,
shame on you.
You know, yeah, shame on you. You know, we were, but we're glad you're here this week.
Absolutely, so. We love you. Forgive
and,
us,
and we look forward to you listening even
next
further.
Week, yes, so,
and next week,
tomorrow,
and the weeks beyond. There you go. In the next 5 minutes,
yeah.
don't shut us off now.
No,
leave that mouse alone. You know, we even talked about it last week about the sacrifice of praise and how it's not a sacrifice until you don't want to do it. You know, I mean, it's easy to praise the Lord when everything's going good.
Yeah.
But the true sacrifice of praise is when things aren't going good and you don't feel like praising the Lord, but you make yourself do it anyways.
I want to tell you a quick story before we close. There was this prophetess. Her name was Teresa Waruma, and she's from Kenya, Africa. And she was known as the prophetess. She would go back and forth to all the villages out there and take the word of God. She's well known in overseas and stuff. And one day the police told her, don't be traveling the roads because there are some guys taking ladies and they're raping them. Seriously, we may have put like. adult time right now, but no. But close the kids' ears. And I just want to let you know that she was driving, and she's like, I have to get to this church. I make my rounds. Now I'm not going to let the enemy stop me from making my rounds. And she went over there hard-headed, but full of faith, full mm-hmm. of faith. Well, the gunman pulled her over and took her and a young girl that was inside the bus, and because she take the bus back and forth. And she took them. They took them into the woods and told the bus driver to keep driving. So when the bus driver got to the next city, he told the police that about approximately where they robbed them or where they took the young ladies. And they took her and this young lady into the woods. And then the guy's like, you know, and whispering, just like the devil, in her ear, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to cut you up. I'm going to rape you. Know this right now. In 10 minutes, you will be dead. Know this right now. And she just kept walking, and past, you know, when she was walking, she had her hands up, and she just kept praying and praying, and she looked at him, and I want to give the listeners this right here. She said, she picked up her hands and she looked, and she goes, this is not the will of my Father. I will not die today. Wow. Today God made me to praise him. And she just picked up her hands and started praising God and singing songs until he made him stop. And the young lady that wasn't even saved. You know, people that are around you, that are sitting with you, seeing you praise God, will receive the benefit. Just mm-hmm. because they're going to, right beside you, they're going to get the crumbs. That's they're going right. to get those crumbs. And she picked up her hands and she's like, she goes, you can't touch this body. For this body is a temple of the Lord. She's the only one that can touch this body is my Jesus. And he ain't you, devil. He is not you. And then she kept praising. She never turned around. She kept praising, and he told him to get on the floor. She just stood there. She didn't get on the floor. She kept holding her hands up. She goes, I have come here to praise the Lord. In this very ground, I will praise the Lord. He goes, you cannot touch me. She didn't say, oh, please stop or anything like that. She just kept praising the Lord. 10 minutes passed. The young girl turned her, kept tapping on her shoulder, and then she's like, what? She goes, I don't know what happened, ma'am, but when you kept praising, the man cried, and he ran off. I'm telling you, praise That's the
powerful.
Lord.
That's powerful.
Praise the Lord in adversity. Well, Pastor, I want you to pray for Dean. I want you to pray for your parishioner, but I also want you just to bless, you know, the performance tomorrow night for the guys that are coming to do the Christian rapping.
Sure, sure. Dear Heavenly Father, we just we come before you right now, Father God, and first of all, we want to praise you and thank you, Lord God, for giving us another day of life, Father God. We lift up your holy name, Father God, because you're worthy. You're worthy of all praise. You're worthy of everything that we are and everything that we have. And Father, we lift up these needs to you right now, Father. We pray for Dino, Father God, as he's going through a very rough time with his roommate committing suicide, Father. Father, we pray right now that you give him peace, Father God. You give him comfort, Lord. Most of all, Father, we pray that you use this as something that is going to draw him to you, Father God, that through this he experiences your goodness. Your word says that it is the goodness of God that draws a man to repentance. And so, Father, I pray that he receives that if he doesn't know you already, Father. And if he doesn't, then I pray that he would rely on you today. And, Father, but bring comfort to him, Father God. Bring comfort to this guy's family, Father God. And I pray that you would just orchestrate everything for your honor and your glory, Lord. And I pray for the whole situation, Father God. It's a horrible situation, but you say that you're going to turn all bad things around for the good. And so we thank you for that, Father God, and we believe that by faith. And we pray for little Julie Annabelle. Father, we pray, Father God, as the surgeons reattached her finger, we pray that the blood vessels are open, Father God, the ligaments have reattached or that were reattached will take and will hold, Father God, that blood will begin to flow to her fingers, Father God, yes, and Lord. And there won't be a need to amputate, Father, but that she'll have full restoration, full healing of that finger right now. Father, we pray for comfort in the mom and in the dad, Father God. We pray for them. Lord, just as you did surgery on their daughter's finger, Father God, my prayer is that you've done surgery in their hearts as well. And that, again, this would be something that would be used to draw them closer to you and as a testimony to those who don't know you, Father. So we thank you for that, Father. We pray for tomorrow night's event here at Metro Church, Father. We pray for the singers, Father God, for all the people that are coming out. Lord, my prayer is that a preparation would already begin to take place in the hearts of everyone involved, Father God, with the mission and the goal, Lord, to seek and save that which was lost. To draw these young people, Father God, closer to you, to draw these young people in a way that they can connect with you that maybe they weren't able to connect before, but that you would touch their hearts, touch their lives. And Father, so we thank you, we praise you, we pray for an anointing up in this place tomorrow night for your Holy Spirit to flow and to reach out and saturate this place with your presence tomorrow, Father. We thank you, Father. I pray for all our listeners, Father God, that your blessing will continue to go forth, Father. My prayer is that they were ministered to today, Father God. I know I was, I believe. I believe Rev was as well, Father God, and I pray that they were blessed by your word, Father. And my prayer is that if there is anybody out there that has been struggling, Father God, that this is something that has encouraged them. And so, Lord, we thank you, we praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Pastor, let them know about your church and your service times and your contact information.
All righty. You can reach us at www.truevinefellowship.com. My contact info, you can email me at daniel@truevinefellowship.com. We're located on the north side of Houston, 8520 Sweetwater Lane, Suite E41. Like I said, we are here in the north side of Houston. Service times. Actually, starting in January, we'll have 9:30 Bible studies, 10:30 service, and then Wednesday nights will be 7 o'clock service.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor, for coming in again.
Thanks for having me.
Now, Pastor Darren's going to be here at least try to get here once a week.
At least, yep.
Help me out, and I appreciate that. And I know Pastor David Hope's here, and then we usually get Mike Salazar on the phone here and there during the week. So we got a good lineup, man, with those three men of God there. Hey, this show's good. I can just sit back and let them talk. Thank you again, Pastor. Well, our address is Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. Again, our address for the church, 7811 FM 1960. If you can come over here, it'd be a beautiful, beautiful service. Email me, therev@midwatchwiththerev.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you next time on the Midwatch. God bless you. Thank you, Daniel, for being here.